Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk Live. It's Thursday. We're live in the studio today, as evidenced by nothing working correctly. Probably been 2 or 3 weeks since we've been here, but hopefully we got all that straightened out. Sports Talk Live is brought to you each and every week by our friends at People's Bank, who bring yours moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week. And here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live, assuming everything is working correctly. It's Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thank you, Jay, and welcome everyone back after a long extended vacation.
Long vacation. Good to see you, Jason.
You too, and man, I tell you, I've actually missed this place. A lot of things to talk about, and sometimes I would just go in the bathroom or something and talk to myself. And
look in the mirror.
Yeah, because, you know, Kathy will talk about sports for a while, but and then she tunes me out and just goes on to whatever she's doing and kind of tunes me out. So
you're having a sports fix then, aren't you?
And
you got to have a shot of sports, huh?
Yeah, we've got 2 hours today, and we have got a ton of stuff to cover. We've got to back up and talk about Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, Oregon.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we've got to.
I figured we would. And I know what else you got on your mind, too.
The upcoming game, yeah, and we have definitely, and I hope Eddie Gwynn is listening, because let me just throw this little teaser out. For those of you who may be living under a rock.
You're just a hater today, aren't you? You're a hater, aren't you? Admit it, Jason.
That's it.
You are a hater today. Wait a minute. You got on your Auburn blue shirt. You got on your Auburn hat. So you're going to pile on today, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pile on. And I'm not going to pile on about the Alabama football game, though, because
it
would be close, but I didn't think Ohio State would win, and they pulled it out.
I was just shocked. Completely shocked.
Alabama and the West as a whole proved people wrong all year.
Plenty to talk about there.
Oh, yeah, man.
Two or three ways you can look at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how you think.
And I'm looking at it the negative way. So. But, Ronnie, one thing we want to be sure to touch on, and those of you, you can go back, and I don't know the episode, but I will find it.
It's been deleted.
Yeah. On demand, where we were talking about a defensive lineman from Georgia who was kicked off the team after his second offense.
Just got them all, and I'm even making a backup right now. Yeah.
He was booked on his second offense, felony charge of domestic abuse for hitting his girlfriend with a closed fist. I even remember saying that.
Well, yeah.
And choking his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He was reported to be visiting Auburn. Gus Malzahn at the time said
I'm sorry for interrupting, but I guess I'm helping you. That wasn't his only problem either.
No.
He'd had some issues with trying to double cash some of his meal tickets or something.
Yeah, some of his scholarship checks or something.
Yeah.
And at this time, Eddie Gwynn called in and really rode me down the road about can't believe that Auburn is. And I said, Eddie, they're not. Gus has said he's not going to give a scholarship to anybody. And then Ronnie told me that if he is even on the campus, that it basically said the same things and showed what Auburn valued or something like that. Now today we learned he is on scholarship at the University of Alabama, Nick Saban signed
it. Yep.
And really, that's got to be Auburn, Alabama fan, whatever fan, that's got to be disappointing.
It is.
And
again, Jason, I'm for it. Anybody and everybody getting a second chance.
Me too.
I mean, I've had second chances. You probably had second chances. Jay may have had a second chance. Probably all of us, you know, who are alive have had a second opportunity. Here's where I have an issue with it. If you're doing it for the purpose of you are simply trying to help a kid, mold them, help them, point them, direct them, guide them, whatever you want to say, in the right direction, I support you 100%. My question is this. Is it for that reason and that reason only, or is it what he or she can do for your program as well?
Oh, yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, are you going to take a one-star or a two-star that has the same type of issues, put them on scholarship, or allow them to walk on your team and maybe make your team, or are you going to say, no, I don't have any interest in them? If you are, then you're kind of speaking with forked tongue, I think.
Yeah, and
are you doing it to help the kid, or are you doing it to help your program?
I think we know the answer to that, too. I mean, how many 5'11", 165-pound kids have you seen get second chances?
I agree.
So,
I completely agree with that.
And I honestly hate it for the Alabama fans because I know how I felt when it was Auburn and he was supposedly visiting campus or had been on campus. And to know that, hey, that we put so much importance on the W that we're going to take somebody, as you said, who had had already trouble with double cashing checks.
Yeah.
He is on his second go-round with the law on domestic violence. And Nick Saban thinks so much of the W that he's going to take this kid under his wing. And and not the only case at Alabama is they're beginning to, you know, how one rock moves and another rock will move, and then you start seeing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Who's the kid? He's been brought back up now. Courtney Upshaw? Is that the one that?
Courtney Upshaw was, he's.
I may have the wrong name.
Courtney Upshaw is playing with the Ravens. He's an All-Pro this year.
Who is the one that beat up the kids and
DJ
stole their,
Petway?
Okay, that's the one I'm thinking.
He was back on the team. Yeah. Now the other there was three kids involved in that, and those two were permanently dismissed.
Were they starters?
I don't even know. I don't know if Petway was at that time. But they did not fulfill what they had to fulfill to have to have. Now I'm just speaking. This is what you hear. Yeah. You know, they did not fulfill what they had to fulfill to have an opportunity to come back. The other kid did.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's what I know about that.
Puts
out some kind of punishment. The other two don't want to.
Yeah,
you know, go by.
Yeah,
the rules.
They weren't willing to go through whatever. It's DJ Petway, I believe, who it is that you're referring to. But you know. And I'm not trying to, divert attention from what we're really talking about. But to a degree, all of them do this to a certain degree. You know, one kid gets in trouble one place, somebody else signs them. You know, Alabama's done it before, Auburn's done it before. But I think, and I know your reasoning for this is why, what got this kid in trouble to start with.
Right.
I think that's what you're referring to. Not that, you know, he was kicked off team because he's smoking weed.
Right. If he's kicked off that and Nick Saban wants to bring him in, you know, I'd say that's your business, whatever.
Sure.
But at the same
time. They've all taken kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I'm
going to
say this, that Alabama fans, and not all Alabama fans, but some Alabama fans, not going to call them names, but Eddie Gwynn, doesn't need to. Come down on Auburn and them taking in Nick Marshall
and Cam
Newton. These guys,
right?
Nick Marshall was a theft. Cam Newton was a laptop.
Yeah.
And we're talking about totally out of the ballpark differences between and beating up your girlfriend, choking your girlfriend for the second time.
Yeah. So. And especially, Jason, right now, with just having the Ray Rice situation and their Adrian Peterson. So, you know, the domestic violence, which it should always be on the forefront, we all know it. You know, we're going to discuss whatever the next hot topic is.
Oh, yeah.
And right now that is the next hot topic. I have not seen anybody ask Saban about that. I've seen him when they questioned about or he talked about DJ Petway coming back, and he got pretty fired up, you know, about that. It's talking about, you know, what are we supposed to do with him? Are we not supposed to give him a second chance? You know, he got pretty hot at a press conference there, made a very passionate plea, his feelings about, you know, letting the kids have another opportunity. I'm all for that. That's not the issue, and I know it's not with you either.
All right.
But this does change matters a little bit. This is much more. Look, and I don't know whether this is going to trial, whether it's going to trial, whether it. I don't know anything about it. I'm just talking about what you have been accused of. That's a lot more serious than going. People are probably going to take this the wrong way. That's a heck of a lot more serious than going out smoking a little weed in the car.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt.
That's a lot more serious than dealing with a laptop.
Right.
Or laptops, even though, you know, there's value there, But when you're talking about physically harming someone, I mean, you're just about at the as far as you can
and
go.
And to answer that question, Ronnie, and another thing that really puzzles me about it is the charges are pending. So he could
still
be
out.
Found innocent, but at the same time, it could end up a lot more
you just don't know.
Complex
That's
and
right.
deeper than what.
That's right. Here's what I would say, Jason. They've signed him. They feel good about it. He is a specimen. There's no question. Should he help him? Absolutely. All that kind of stuff. But I would hope that it would be that there would have been a conversation like this. We're going to sign you, but the first time we have a problem of any kind, you're gone.
Which would make his fourth time.
That's right.
You know, so.
All right.
I don't know.
Which would be his first time at Tuscaloosa. I would be horribly offended if he gets in trouble and then, you know, he's suspended a game or two and then he's allowed to come back and keep, you know, at some point in time, you have to draw a line. You have to end it.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've talked about that all year with, you know,
if you remember
people.
When we were talking about that and it was on Auburn and it looked like Auburn, I said at the time, if Gus signs this boy, I will lose all respect for Gus Malzahn. All right.
Yeah.
Now, what respect I had for Nick Saban,
yeah.
which wasn't the top of the world, but I did have respect for what he's done and him being
respect
a coach
of what he's accomplished
and making his players walk the line.
Right. And he's done a good job. He has done a good job.
But we can't sit here at the same time and talk about Florida State and Jimbo Fisher. And this wouldn't happen if he was at Alabama, or this wouldn't happen if he was at Auburn.
That's right.
And with this going on.
I agree with you. I can't disagree with anything you said.
I'd love
to be able to.
Yeah.
but I can't. You know. And I hope, you know, hey, here's what the best thing can happen. He gets in absolutely no trouble. These charges end up being dropped, that they were frivolous.
Right.
There was nothing to them. And then, you know, maybe we can have a different conversation. But we're not there yet.
No. And, maybe one time, even in Jameis's case, people think what they want to. Yes, he did sexually assault the girl. No, he didn't. But it was a one-time charge. This is two times for this young man. So, you know, the old saying, where there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Not much fire New Year's Day but from Alabama or Auburn, either one. So
I tell you what, that was an ugly performance for both clubs and for the SEC West, we'll
what
say.
What happened to the SEC West?
Did they just? I would love to hear what some other people, you know, think. So if you're listening and you'd like to give us your opinion, I'm sure I haven't talked to Jay, but I'm sure the phone line's open and working. 737-9951 is the number. If you give us a call, give us your opinion about the bowl games, how they went, about the SEC, specifically the SEC West. What do you think went wrong? We'd love to hear from you. So, Jason, what's your take? What do you think went wrong? I think there's two or three different arguments here.
Yeah, I basically fall into camp, Ronnie, as I think the SEC West was probably overrated all year. And you can see that anytime they went up against someone outside the SEC. Now, they won some. Alabama beat West Virginia. Auburn beat Kansas State.
Yeah.
But
those turned out just to be so-so.
Average wins.
Yeah.
And when it came down to it, was the SEC West good? Yeah, they were good.
No
question. But they were no better than the Pac-12 or, you know, any other conference.
It kind of has played out that way.
I think that was a year that a lot of teams were basically equal, maybe with the exception of Oregon.
Yeah.
And I think Oregon, we'll see Monday night, but I think Oregon is head and shoulders better than everybody else.
I think they're just from the game that I watched with Oregon and Florida State and Alabama and Ohio State, and I may be wrong, and you have to give – I hate to, but you have to give Urban Meyer his credit and his due. They completely – I would never thought I'd say this. They completely, in my mind, dominated, manhandled, did basically whatever they had to do to be successful.
Yeah.
Alabama couldn't get off the field on third down, and they're playing, you know, supposedly a third-string quarterback. He didn't
Wouldn't it be nice to be in shape that your third-string quarterback
Listen,
is this guy?
it's pretty obvious. that there are some really good quarterbacks out there. They just weren't in the SEC.
Right.
Or the SEC, really, the SEC as a whole. You think about it. Who was the star quarterback in the SEC this year? There's not one. There's not one to really think about. Not one to mention. And then you look at what Ohio State with their third string quarterback.
Have you seen the picture? And it's been used for a lot of different things, but it's a looks like probably a missionary worker and the little black kid, and he's got a puzzled look on his face.
No, I haven't seen it.
And they've changed it this time to say it says, let me get this straight. Ohio State beat Alabama with a third string quarterback. So if you see the expression on this kid's face.
Oh, I haven't seen it. But I would just sat there with my mouth up. When it got 21-6, I thought, this is about to get ugly.
Yeah, that's the same thought I had. I thought I'm going to be going to sleep here in a little bit.
That's right. We are about to turn their lights out. Yep. And it became everything but that.
And it got ugly the other way.
In a hurry.
Yeah.
It didn't take long. Once they got rolling, and Bama defensively, they did a good job on first and second down. They could not get off the field on third down.
Right.
It didn't matter if it was third and two or third and eight or third and 12. They picked up the vast majority. I don't have those stats up. I can't even get on the internet. But we both know they converted on well over 50% of their third down conversions. And most of the time it was this, you know, the kid dropping back and just take off and run.
Yeah.
And Alabama, he is a load to tackle.
Oh, man. What are you, 6'5"?
250.
Yeah. Oh, he's 250. A horse. Cam Newton size.
He was.
And Alabama, once again, had the problem defending the deep pass. You know, if all else fails, just heave it long.
That's it. All year long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All year long. That's happened to
him. They would have solved that problem, but.
It's pretty obvious with what they have right now or what's playing right now, it was not solvable.
Yeah.
Or they would have solved it. I was talking with some guys today, Jason, in the years past, and I'm not trying to beat up on Alabama's defense because they have been outstanding for many, many years. We both would have to agree with that.
Oh.
But there was not the fear of the Alabama defense that there has been in the past.
No.
They just wasn't there. In most cases, I would say those quarterbacks were looking forward to playing Alabama because they didn't get great pass rush on you, and you're going to complete plenty of passes.
Yeah,
I mean, you
see the Auburn game. What Nick Marshall looked
exactly.
Like?
Exactly. Matty Mock in the SEC championship game. I know we're going way back there. They did nothing offensively except scramble around like this in the backyard playing, and he heaves it down the field three or four times, and they catch him every time.
Yeah.
So there is there's work to be done there.
And
lot of work.
Another thing, and we're about to go to a break and then we'll come back with Greg Smith. It's going to be interesting to see what Greg and Dan have to say.
Yeah. I really want their take on what's happened.
Something interesting, Ronnie, is how fast, and this shows us once again, how fast, fans can turn.
Sure.
You know, just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Nick Saban was the savior. He had brought in Kirby Smart as defense coordinator. He was the best.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Lane Kiffin, what a brilliant mind.
Oh, he's man.
Be
he was
the
just,
next head coach at wherever.
He was, I'm not being sacrilegious, but for a lot of people, you know, he was the second coming of, you know, the greatest thing ever.
Les
as football.
Miles, what a job he had done at LSU.
That's right.
With what he had this
Kevin
year.
Sumlin.
Yeah.
You know.
And now. These guys are all on the hot seat. Maybe not Nick Saban,
no,
but everybody else on the hot seat.
Yeah, so it turns in a hurry.
Hey, we'll be right back and contact Greg Smith with onlybestbets.com. From his email running, it may not have been a great holiday for him either. But we'll find out about that and talk more football. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256 256- 734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Colman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Colman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Colman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com. All right, 4:22 on a Thursday afternoon, and Ronnie, that means it's time for Greg Smith.
That's it.
Onlybestbets.com. Greg, hope you had a great holiday, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Hey, did Santa Claus bring you anything interesting that we need to know about, or did he bring you a lump of coal, or what?
Nothing too bad. So I must have lived right somehow.
But, there you go.
It was a good holiday.
Great.
Hey, Greg. Real quick before we get too deep into it, all these bowl games, the bowl season has wound down. One game left, the national championship. How did it go for you? How were your picks over the holidays?
I actually did pretty well. I had a really bad November, and it was the first week or so in November was good, but the last week in November, I'm not sure if it's a pattern or what's going on with this, but I got to figure this out. But I had a real bad last week in November, and I ended up having a pretty good bowl season. I went 12-6, I believe, for the bowl season. So I hit it about a 66% winning clip, which was good.
The bad news
is, and I'm sure you're aware of this, too, is I was really heavy on, when I say heavy, I mean I really promoted Ole Miss over TCU.
Right.
And TCU was really ticked off. And yeah, I think you could tell the way they played. They're more prepared. They wanted the game more. I just put a little too much emphasis in Bo Wallace being the senior quarterback, playing there for four to five years. I thought that you'd see some good focus football from him. But just like he's done throughout his entire career at Ole Miss, he's fickle. He has a great game and a bad game, great game and a bad game. And I think if we went back and looked at his schedule just in this season, you'd see that he did that a lot. He had two interceptions and no interceptions, you know, three interceptions and no interceptions. So, a little disappointed in my play there with Ole Miss. I should have rethought that.
Hey, that happens.
Yeah, well, it's one thing when you think. See, here's the problem, though, guys, is that you make a pick like that, and then you get blown out 43-3 or whatever that final score was. It's embarrassing. Does not look good.
Yeah.
So, it's part of the business, though.
That's exactly right. Hey, Greg, I think, you know, you touched on something there when you said TCU, you know, they were probably a little bit chapped that they had been shunned or slided out of the playoff picture. I think we saw that during the whole bowl, all of the bowl games are not, you know, as a whole, that you had some teams that were really excited to be there and some who had already packed it in for the holidays.
Right. And really, guys, that's why the SEC does not do so well in the bowl games, because all the media does is talk how great the SEC is, which is rightfully so. The problem is that you give these teams the opportunity to play in SEC teams, you give them 3 weeks to prepare, and to think about it, being underdogs for 20, 24, 5, 25 days straight.
Right.
They come out and they play really hard, and it's not who you play, it's when you play, and I think that's what you see a lot in these bowl games. You see a lot of these SEC teams, these big, high-profile SEC teams. Look at the Kentuckys, and I'm talking like right. the Auburns and the Alabamas and you know, the Ole Miss and those sort of teams, where you really get teams dialed in and really want to take their heads off.
Exactly.
So it's no surprise to me.
It was kind of like, you know, Alabama last year, they played Oklahoma, and Oklahoma lit them up. And a few years before that, maybe yeah. 2 or 3 years before that, they played Utah in the Sugar Bowl, and Utah lit them up. I mean, Bama, you know, they just didn't want to be there for whatever reason. And I think that, you know, we see that through the whole bowl season, that there's some teams excited to be there and some don't want to be.
Yeah, and I think Alabama actually played a pretty decent football game last week. I just think that, and me as well, and Saban also, they were pretty much taken back by this quarterback.
I agree.
I saw an interview with Nick Saban saying that he thought he was the best at all three of them.
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier, Greg. If that's your third-string quarterback, he's better than any starting quarterback in the SEC right now. I mean, isn't that guy?
You're not going to see Miller in Ohio State next year. He's going to transfer.
Absolutely.
And there's rumors he's going down south. And as far as the other kid, I'm telling you, there's going to be a battle there. So
absolutely.
Especially if this kid can pull it off on Monday night, he's going to be the almighty walking on that campus for the next 365 days.
Exactly.
Watch this happen.
Yeah, and even whether you like you like Urban Meyer or not, and I've never been a fan of Urban. I mean, just because, you know, he was in the SEC, and I've just never really cared for him. Not that I didn't respect him, but. I have to really, really respect his ability to have three quality, top quality quarterbacks, you know, with all Ohio State uniforms on. I mean, nobody else I know of has anything near that.
And one thing that Nick Saban does, and he did it quite well with Tebow and his other quarterbacks at Utah, is he plays to the quarterback skills. I mean, he knows what they're really good at doing. And then he emphasizes that. You know, if he's not a good thrower, you're not going to see a lot of throws. If he's a good runner, you're going to see a lot of running plays, kind of draw plays
right.
and whatnot. So he does a really good job of getting the best out of his players, what they're really good at doing, and then putting that into the game plan.
Right, right. Well, hey, while we're on bowl games, and we've only got, you know, one bowl left, or one game left being the championship game, and everybody in the world knows it's Ohio State against Oregon. It looks like Oregon is about a 7-point favorite. How are you with that right now? Which side are you on?
Well, first of all, it's not 7. It's at 6. And you're
it's
having
six.
A hard time
okay.
probably finding 7, maybe 6.5.
Okay.
And that's important for me to say that, because that key number is huge. I actually tweeted, sent out this play to all my members earlier this week, because I wanted them to get in on it, and I'm going to go ahead, since it's the last game of the season, and go ahead and give out this play to everybody. I will say this. This is a very, very big play of mine. I love this play for a lot of reasons, but if you, I look at this game, guys, and this is no different to me than last year's Super Bowl. A good offense versus a great defense.
Right.
And what happens? The defense is more consistent. They can fight, they can have a better game plan or come up with a better game plan against those high-profile offenses. And the public loves high-profile offense, and
sure.
they get behind it. I like Ohio State at +7, and do not be surprised if they win the national championship at all on this. The Oregon Ducks played a very... not a very good team. We've talked about this before with Florida State. I thought they had a lot of problems, and Oregon did a fine job of exposing that. But at the same time, they kind of fell on their own sword. And they had a couple of really bad turnovers that turned into touchdowns.
Yes.
And you know, you take away those issues, those problems, it's a little closer game than you think. I'm telling you, I like Ohio State in this spot. The Big Ten was not as bad as everyone thought. And I think you're starting to see that Ohio State was a complete football team.
Hey, you may be hitting it right on the nose. I don't know, but you certainly know more about the Oregon by being out on the West Coast as you are than we certainly are here. Really, about the only time I've seen Oregon play was this past week when they played Florida State. And you're right, when you're playing somebody that turns it over five times, they're going to make you look better just because of that.
Well, let's look at this from a numbers perspective. Let's educate the listeners a little bit here. Let me ask you this. Then why would the line go from 7 to 6? Why would it move past? Now, by the way, guys, when I say key number, it's 3 and 7. Those are huge in football, especially NFL, but in college football, it's just as big. Moving past those key numbers is a big deal. So why would the odds makers, the books, move that line from minus 7 to minus 4 or minus 6 when there's only 30% of the public or betting that's on Ohio State? That's telling you there's a lot of sharp money that's back at the Buckeyes right now. A lot. To move that line to minus 6. I'm telling you right now, I might lose the Ohio State game, but it's not because I was on the wrong side. anyone that takes Oregon on Monday is playing with fire. I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
Hey, Greg, light me up because I'm a duck on this one. I'm a duck, and hey, I'm going to go almost as extreme the other way. I don't think this game's going to be close. I think this is what's interesting, because you do have such drastic different views of this game. I think when I say close, I'm thinking Oregon's going to win this one 13 to 14 points. I'm not sold on Alabama, and I'm not sold on the win Ohio State got over Alabama. I think they're going to see a totally different team when they see Oregon. Alabama hasn't impressed me all year, and I know I've been the dog around here for it, but hey, I'm going to be quacking come Monday night.
Well, there's all sorts of ways we can skin this cat. I mean, you can look at it like this, saying the one team that actually beat Oregon was Arizona, and Arizona, really, guys, that score against Boise State wasn't even close. I mean, Boise State had that game handled all the way through.
Right.
Boise State really took advantage of Arizona's weakness, which was their defense. Oregon's defense scares me to death, and Winston was not very good this year in moving the football. So I don't think we saw a complete defensive team out there, Oregon that is, against Florida State. I think that Florida State just wasn't that good of an offensive team. Therefore, I gotta go with defensive teams. And honestly, it's why Alabama's done so well these last, five or six, 7 years. It's been their defense. Defense wins championships. Yeah. I'm not going against their defense.
I got you.
Hey, Greg, how surprised were you talking about Alabama? How surprised were you that Ohio State beat Alabama and beat them in the fashion they did? And the same thing for Oregon beating. I know you're not surprised that Florida State went down, but were you surprised that Oregon beat them as bad as they did?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess I was. You know, I got respect for Saban. And I think that he's a fine coach, and I think he prepares very well. And I just thought that with the third-string quarterback playing, I thought it was an anomaly. I thought that the fact that he had such a great game during the Big Ten Championship, blowing him out with 42-0 or whatever it was, I just thought it was something wasn't right there. And so, yeah, I took it by surprise. I thought Alabama was going to play pretty physical football and win this game by 14 points, and it didn't happen.
Hey, what are your thoughts? Ronnie and I have already discussed it. What are your thoughts on the SEC and especially the West, the poor performance in the bowl games? Was the SEC West overhyped, or was it a case, as we talked about earlier, they just didn't want to be there?
Yeah, well, I'm not too sure if – I don't know how we can determine whether they wanted to be there or the fact the teams they played really wanted to beat them badly.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, I think that Ole Miss was a really big disappointment to me. You know, I mean, if anything, Jason, your response to me about the Ducks and the Ohio State should be, well, then why in the heck did Ole Miss get blown out? Because Ole Miss had a really good defense. They did. They had a fine defense.
Right.
And it was one of the reasons why I looked at that game so heavily. and it just didn't matter. So so there's a counterpoint for you with the Ohio State and Oregon Duck game.
Right.
I just, you know, I really can't explain why the West did so poorly, but I think you're right. I think it's a little bit of they were disappointed. You know, keep in mind, all of these SEC teams, well, at least a majority of them, were all at one time considered to be the elite, right?
Yeah.
They were at number one, number two, number three, number four spots, jumping back
right.
and forth, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Alabama, even Auburn, I mean, all those teams. And then all of a sudden now it's just one SEC team, and then you're not even in the top ten. Yeah, it's a disappointment.
Right.
And,
at one point it was three of the top
you
four.
You've got to get your players up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, at one time, you know, the top was going around, how are they going to be able, you know, there's two teams out of the SEC West that deserve, you know, that certainly deserves to be in the playoff, if not more than that. You know, that was the talk for a long time, and the way it turned out, you know, Alabama probably didn't deserve to be there
yeah.
either, you know.
Yeah, I think you're going to see this moving forward through the next, you know, 10 years, is that I think the committee really just smiled when we started doing that, because I think they knew deep down inside that that was all going to work itself out anyways. It really didn't matter who was in the top four the first four, five, 6 weeks, because they all had to play each other anyways at the end of the day, and you had your conference championships and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it just really didn't matter. And I think we're going to learn that moving forward, that it doesn't matter if you're in the top three or in the top ten, you can play your way into it just by winning your games, because everyone else is going to eat their own. And it's
going to
be, a, you know, kind of a crapshoot at the end.
Exactly. Hey, we're going to move to the NFL in just a second, but I just thought of Baylor there, you know, and Art Briles. You know, he was kind of had his feathers ruffled a little bit because they didn't get into the playoff game, and then they get beat, you know, in their bowl game. So that was a little, yeah, that was a little bit of, I guess, a shut up juice for Baylor to that they didn't deserve to be in the playoff after all.
Yeah, I mean. They definitely gave up they had it won.
Yeah.
Michigan State just came back and did an unbelievable. I actually had Michigan State, so I was kind
sure.
of taken back. I
yeah.
was a little lucky, I think, on that game.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, Baylor just, they had it, and they just laid an egg, and Michigan State took control of it.
That's it. Hey, now that we're through the regular season and we're into a little bit of the NFL playoffs is when I kind of start getting interested in it. What games this weekend have your attention, got your eyebrows raised, or are you checking out?
Well, right now I guess I'm looking at the Panthers, but the line scares me. You know, why is that line so high? It seems too easy, guys, to take the Panthers at plus 11 or plus 10 or whatever shop you're looking at. It just seems like it's too easy for me. So that concerns me a little bit. But the flip side of that, Panthers do have a pretty good defense. And in the last two matchups they've played Seattle, it's been 3 to 4 point games. So the Panthers can play. I'm a little nervous on how well they can play up there in Seattle.
Right.
It's going to be rocking. It's the loudest place I've ever been to in my life. Now the news came out about the torn muscle in Rodgers' calf. That's interesting, too. How well is he going to be able to play, you know, against Dallas? That line has kind of stayed there at minus six, too. It hasn't really moved too much. But I'm concerned about how well, you know, that's one of the things about what Rodgers does so well is he extends plays. He can kind of get outside the pocket, and he finds his receiver. So will he be able to do that as much against an improved defensive Dallas Cowboy team? So I'm looking at those two matchups. I'll tell you now, I like all the dogs, really. I like the Colts at plus 7 going in and playing Denver. You know, I like Baltimore, too. I'm not a huge fan of giving Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for games, but I tend to lean towards Baltimore also. I think they have a better defense. So right now I'm kind of looking at all the dogs as a good go-to. I have not figured out what my best bet is yet of the floor, because I'm just kind of watching numbers right now, kind of seeing where things are going to fall in place.
I got you. Hey, do you think the Lions got hosed against the Cowboys?
Well, it seems like they did. It looks like they did.
It sure does, doesn't it?
Sometimes a ref throws down a flag and then just picks it up. It was the right call. I don't know why it picked it up.
Exactly.
That was a blunder.
It cost them. I think it cost them the football game.
I think. Absolutely. It definitely would have put them in a good field spot to at least kick a field goal.
Exactly.
And to take the lead.
That's it.
Hey, Greg, I'm going to have to agree with you on the Panthers. I'm already in on that one, too, and I think at 11, so maybe Cam will get it in gear. Boy, the Panther defense, I'm not sure if it was a case of the Panther defense being good or that Cardinal offense. Man, they couldn't get anything going this past week. 78 yards total offense.
Guys, it's really hard in the NFL, from a coaching aspect, to take quarterbacks who are third-straight quarterbacks, like Arizona had, and put him in an environment like he was put in. I mean, his last three games were huge. He had to play Seattle, he had to play San Francisco, then he had to play a playoff game in Carolina. It was just, you know, it was a bad spot. Arizona really was a really good team. They just had some unfortunate problems on the injury side of things to keep him out of the to go deep into the playoffs. But like anything that's been said, and I think Nick Saban actually said this one time, you know, to win a national Urban Meyer said this, to win a national championship, you got to be lucky. And that's one example of it. You got to be a little lucky. You got to have things kind of go your way. And it didn't go Arizona's way this year.
All right.
That's it.
Hey, get ready. It's all going to boil down this weekend. We can warm up with some NFL and then get ready for Monday night's game. And we'll see. Let me say this. If the Ducks do go down in the pond, I'm not going to lose my house on it.
I'm sick next week. Yeah.
hey, Greg, next week I want us to touch on a little NCAA basketball, and I want you to talk a little about Kentucky, what you think of them.
Yeah, you did say, Greg, that was really your sport, right? Basketball, so.
Yeah, basketball is my best sport just because it's I think there's more value there than any other spot. But just like I've said before, guys, I want to make sure I preach this to everybody who's listening. You know, there's variance in everything you do. So, you know, you're ever as hot or as cold, and you got to make sure that you have money management and you keep moving forward because you're going to have times where it works one week and it does it the next week, and you just got to stay true to your formulas and what you're doing, and things will tend to work out on the right side of you. But it's important that everyone know that money management's key. Yes, I like Ohio State, but I'm not saying you go put your mortgage down. I'm saying it's a good play. That's what I'm saying.
That's
it.
All right, Greg, hope you have a great weekend and enjoy some football. And as we always say, hope you have a profitable weekend, more importantly. So we'll talk to you next week, and thanks again for joining us.
Okay, guys, have a good day.
All right, thanks, Greg.
Once again, Greg Smith, onlybestbets.com.
He's good.
Oh, yeah.
He's good.
He is a enjoyment to talk to.
Yes, he is.
We'll be right back with Dr. Knowledge, Dan Boston. And I'm sure he'll have
He's overwhelmed. He's been off a couple of weeks.
Hey,
I can't imagine.
He's liable to have a blowout tonight.
He's going to stroke.
Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5. Coleman.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
I'm Tommy Warhurst with Farmers Insurance. When was the last time you sat down with your agent for a review of your coverages?
It's probably been a while. But your insurance is about you and protecting your family. And you should be a part of selecting the coverage that's best for you and get it at a price that fits your budget. My focus is you and doing what's right for you and your family, all while helping you save money. If you'd like a free insurance review, my number is 256-338-3701, and the website is thewarhurstagency.com.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
All right, Ronnie, we're knocking them down.
And one down and one to go right here with the man of knowledge, isn't it?
Dan
the
man. Dan Foster. Dan, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey, great. Did you have a great holiday? You didn't overdose on football, did you?
Yeah, no. I enjoyed the holidays, enjoyed all the bowl games, family time. Nothing beats that.
Yeah, is it cold up there? You got some snow?
We do have some snow. It's been, I think it's the warmest it's been all week. It's like up to 14.
Oh, oh wow.
Well, we got a dose of it last night, too.
We were at about 8, 9 degrees this morning, and for Alabama, that is bad.
Yeah, we don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, let's talk a little football. The finals are set, Oregon, Ohio State. How surprised are you, first off, that Alabama is not in those finals?
Yeah, obviously it's a little surprising. Goes without saying. Alabama, I mean, you know, preseason, everybody had them in their top 2 or 3. I thought they were among the best or second best at worst going in all year long. I thought they were pretty impressive throughout the whole season. They had some issues, but obviously this team was loaded, and while this wasn't Nick Saban's best team per se, it's just tough to see a team as talented like Alabama and to not get to the national championship's always a tough break, but it just goes to show you that the two best teams in the nation, on paper at least, don't always get there at the end of the year, and we're going to see more of that potentially with a college football playoff, but a lot of luck is involved, and even more now with 4 teams, and potentially more if they ever go to 8 teams. I think you look at that game, Alabama's linebackers weren't healthy, they left the game. It just shows you the Buckeyes controlled its will on both sides of the ball, but certainly Blake Sims, I thought he had to play a good game, and that was arguably his worst game as a starting quarterback for the Tide. Certainly the defense couldn't make big stands. It was tough to see Alabama. Obviously, they have made, I would say, the best punter in college football and dominated field position. But that didn't matter because Ohio State really had its way with Alabama despite the field position issues. And the turnover certainly really was the dagger, that pick six. We don't see defensive ends drop back into coverage as a linebacker like Steve Miller did for Ohio State. But I thought going to the air, I've mentioned it a few times on here with you guys, that Ohio State had the best D-line going into the season outside of SEC country, and I thought they proved against SEC country that Michael Bennett and Joey Bosa, Bennett this year in the draft, probably a first or second rounder, and Bosa potentially could be a top 10 pick in 2 years since he's only a true sophomore. That defensive line dominated the Alabama O-line, which I thought was maybe the biggest weakness outside of maybe their kicking issues they've had in the past. But Alabama didn't play anywhere near its best game, still had chances to at least send that game into overtime, and unfortunately fell came up short. But certainly this program is still as good as any, and will have plenty more opportunities for many more years in the future to come. But certainly Ohio State and now Oregon proved that talent doesn't always matter, though I thought going to the air they had top 5 talents. But their coaching staff and executed perfection, and it was tough for Alabama, but like I said, they'll have plenty more opportunities for many years to come.
All right. Hey, Dan, I know, as you just said, you spoke of Ohio State, especially early in the year. I may be wrong about this. You had them, if they weren't in your top 4 when you first picked your teams, you had them in your top 5 or 6, I know. Did you actually have them in your top 4 to start the year until they lost?
I had them pre-Brax Miller injury, and when they lost him, I thought that was going to be the dagger. I didn't think J.T. Barrett would be a potential superstar. And, of course, with him, Cardale Jones kind of just picked up where they left off. So, and obviously, Braxton Miller could be in the news this offseason, depending if he were to transfer or stay. But, yeah, I thought Ohio State, one of my best 4 teams in the country with Braxton Miller, because I loved their defense up front and their skill players. It turned out those guys played better than I even thought they were, which I was pretty high in them, because of the ability for quarterbacks to get so much talent and help around them. So I thought they were right there even without Braxton, and it showed with the talent around them because the quarterbacks looked amazing, and that gives some props to them as well.
Hey, I agree with you, Dan. I think you, the key thing you said there was the defensive line from Ohio State, for lack of a better word, dominated the offensive line from Alabama, and I think that's completely where the game was won and where the game was lost. And down here, you know, in the South, we don't see Ohio State on TV playing much, or if it's on, we don't watch it. So I wasn't prepared for them being as physical of a football team as they were. Matter of fact, I think they were certainly more physical than Alabama turned out to being, and I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Ohio State would have held its own with their defensive line, but it was amazing to see Alabama's linebackers just drop like flies, among any other players. Landon Collins was dinged up, and certainly I think he's going to be a top eight pick, and the Chicago Bears, I know in here, are desperate need of defensive players. We'd love to have a potential all-pro safety down the line, but they really got dinged up, and Zeke Elliott and certainly Cardale Jones running the football downhill on Alabama in the second half was complete domination. And I was a little sort of shocked by that aspect. But when you lose your all studs and your all SEC performers like Alabama lost, like Reggie Ragland, who I think would be a stud at the next level,
right?
It just takes a toll. And certainly their offense, ability to avoid the turnovers. They would avoid the turnovers. I think they just flat out win that game. But with the disasters that they had and inability to take advantage of the great field position, it is unfortunate, but they came up short, and that's what great teams do, or very good teams do, and I think we're going to see how good Ohio State is this upcoming Monday.
Absolutely. Hey, just kind of piggybacking off what we're talking about there, what surprised you more, the way Oregon dominated FSU or the fact that Ohio State beat Alabama?
Yeah, I think I would slightly obviously go with the way that Oregon just dismantled Florida State. I think it wasn't really possible in my eyes, barring major turnovers, and that certainly played a large vital role. And it was just shocking to see five turnovers, of course, all result in the points. And whether it was Robert Aguayo missing the field goal at halftime or Jameis Winston missing on a touchdown early in the first half by pretty much a fingernail, those were points that Florida State desperately needed, 10-plus points, and they had a chance they should have been up at halftime. And I thought that was a pretty bad break for them because you need all the points you can get against the Oregon Ducks, especially this year. Even going back to previous years, you got to be able to put some points on the board against them. And then what led to the four fumbles we saw in the second half, and, of course, the defensive touchdown from the fumble from Jameis Winston. Marcus Mariota, I think, has been one of the more productive, successful quarterbacks. Going back to the 90s, I think he'd be in my top five in terms of overall production, and he proved it in the big games. This year, certainly he's had issues in the past against Stanford. Last year he wasn't healthy with the MCL, and certainly scouts will talk about that all off season. But this year he's been dynamite. And I didn't think the Oregon Ducks skill players were as good as Ohio State's, Alabama's, or Florida State's. And I thought that the whole year. And certainly Royce Freeman's a running back for them that could be a future first rounder. But Mariota, if you would have those three other teams' skill players, I think they would dominate undefeated, and it was amazing to see him. While they do have very good players, so he'll get some looks in the NFL, it was amazing to see Oregon, Mario in that offense, just confuse Florida State with a quick, you know, bubble screens and passes out of the flats, and then they went deep. You saw Carrington, Byrne, T.J. Williams, Nate Andrews, Tyler Hunter. That Florida State secondary is going to have four or five pros immediately in the next 2 years. Got torched. And it's all props to Mario and that coaching staff, which I thought out coached Florida State. Obviously, I executed them. And certainly the fumbles was disastrous in the second half. All good runs come to an end, and Oregon put the dead on the null. So I think that was more impressive to me as they hammered Florida State, as opposed to Alabama, which I thought that game, Sugar Bowl-wise, was going to be within 10 points at the most. I thought Ohio State would have lost that game by about a touchdown, but with the turnovers and the pick six, they ended up winning by a touchdown. So I wasn't completely shocked. Despite Alabama, anytime they lose it is a little bit surprising, but shocked to see Florida State, who I picked to win that game, to getting that buzzsaw, but certainly all things do come to an end.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about Oregon is once they get on a roll, I mean, they are – I don't think it matters who they're playing in college football. If and when they get on a roll, there is no way to stop them. It just doesn't appear to be.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, you got to dominate the line of scrimmage, and pray you got a great secondary. Of course, they've got a great secondary, but outside Eddie Goldman and Mario Edwards Jr., who lost some weight for that game, those are only two or four D linemen that are superstars you want in terms of first or second rounders in the NFL. And the other two are still youngsters developing for Florida State, and they couldn't get any pressure on Mariota, and they couldn't take advantage in the first half, and then it kind of snowballed from then. So Ohio State, when they get in the red zone, if they want a chance, they got to score on all the opportunities if they want to pull off the slight upset, if you will.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to throw one at you here, give you a little curveball. Dan, do you ever remember in recent college football history of a more dominant quarterback and what he has accomplished than Mariota?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the hot debate right now. I think this year, I don't think so. We've never actually seen a quarterback in the history of college football with 50 more total touchdowns than they had turnovers. And if Mario is, I believe, plus three or – he could be plus two or three, I believe it is. He'll be plus 50 for the season, which we've never seen in the history of the sport.
Right.
Now, certainly he's in a spread offense, great system quarterback, many despite – but he could be, I think – a legit quarterback at the next level. He's making all these solid to very good skill players as opposed to excellent skill players that I thought Florida State and Alabama and Ohio State had. So I think this is arguably the greatest one-year stretch in terms of career. It's hard to really compare because we pass so much more in spread offenses now.
Sure.
And we did say just 10 years ago, and it's shown even in the NFL where fantasy football is being taken over by wide receivers. And you see Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown catch 15 touchdowns over 120 catches. We didn't see that outside of maybe Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's just more spread offenses. So this year, yes. For a career, you could point to a few other quarterbacks. Obviously, Tim Tebow had a darn good career. But for 1 year, if he can pull this off Monday night and win the Heisman,
yeah,
national championship on top of that Heisman, I think you make a great case for that.
I got you. Hey, put on an NFL owner hat for me, Dan. You're now the owner of the first pick in the draft. Are you taking Jameis Winston or are you taking Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, I don't think that. I would love to have the first pick. You got a guy like Mike Evans, maybe Vincent Jackson goes to free agency, but Mike Evans, potentially a top 10 receiver for many years to come. I would, you know, we got to wait for the combine and all these scouts and see how they all test out, but I'm neck and neck actually between Mario and Winston. I think Jameis Winston is more ready right now. I think he's less of a health injury potential because he doesn't really move around that well. Many people compare Jameis Winston to, I think a good comparison would be Big Ben and Phillip Rivers.
Uh-huh.
Many people forget those two guys, obviously 6'4", 240 plus. Many people forget how big Phillip Rivers was at NC State and certainly Big Ben at Miami, Ohio. I think that's a good comparison for Jameis Winston. That's his highest potential, and you could argue Big Ben's a future Hall of Famer and maybe Phillip Rivers is as well.
Right.
I think Mariota, obviously his, I think, top potential could be potentially an Aaron Rodgers, which I think many people consider the best player in the NFL. But my biggest concern with that is, outside of this past week or so, Rodgers has been healthy. Mario has had some more injury concerns, but I think pocket presence and ability to move, Mario is as good as we've seen in quite a while. But he's not quite built like those guys I mentioned, like an Andrew Luck. So he's going to have to run much less and just get a little bit better presence and accuracy-wise. But he's proven he's pretty legit. He's going to have to answer the naysayers of the spread system that fits quarterbacks well, because we've seen Darren Thomas and Jeremiah Masoli have success at Oregon, but not too many quarterbacks, obviously, at the next level. But Florida State really hasn't either. But I think Jameis Winston and Mariota will both put a dagger end to both of those categories. I'd slightly lean right now in early January, Winston barely over Mariota, but it's going to be, I think, both close and both guys likely both going to be, obviously, top five picks. There's so many bad teams in the top 10 in the draft desperately need quarterbacks.
Yes, you're right there. The NFL is not loaded at the quarterback position, that's for certain. Hey, switching back to college football, and specifically the SEC West, you know, at one time this season, you know, Dan, you know better than Jason and I, they had three of the four top teams were out of the West. Now, my question is, was the West, were we just overrated, or are we missing something else somewhere?
Well, I still think the SEC West was and still is the best division in college football this year, at least. I can't stand when pollsters and prognosticators heavily rely on what happens in the postseason of bowl games. More times than recently, it doesn't really tell us on what or what the future holds. I think the perfect example, we just look back a year ago from this time, Trevor Knight in Oklahoma put together Knight did, I think arguably the greatest game any quarterback's ever played in the history against Alabama in the postseason. The numbers back that up. I think there's an Illinois quarterback before my time in the 80s, I believe, had a little bit better of a statistical game. But Trevor Knight, in terms of the media and the social media and Twitter now, he was pretty much a god that night, especially for Oklahoma fans. And he's been a bust this year, even before injury riddled. I thought Oklahoma was a two-loss team. They ended up being a five-loss team, guys. And they got, you know, absolutely slaughtered by a Clemson team that, while maybe one of the better defenses, they had a guy, Cole Stott, a quarterback, who was, you know, that offense was borderline bad. But certainly Oklahoma looked bad against Clemson. It just goes to show not to weigh too much, despite pollsters and prognosticators kind of look at the bowl games as a springboard to how they rank teams. Certainly they look at offensive skill players, but for the SEC, they don't lose a ton of credit or discredit for me for these bowl games. Certainly, they're supposed to be enjoyable. This was not the case, obviously, for the SEC West, but the Big Five, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, they all lost, obviously, Mississippi State, those five teams. They allowed over 1,500 yards rushing combined in those five games, obviously well below their season averages. I didn't think those five teams would allow 1,500 yards combined total yards of offense in their game. But certainly the five teams they lost to, pretty respectable. But Ohio State, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, TCU, Georgia Tech, for the most part, those are all good running teams. And if you can control the line of scrimmage and have good quarterback play in postseason, it's shown that those teams fairly win more often than not. And the SEC West teams, they certainly got the Super Bowl from those five teams. And they pretty much played their A-plus games, those five teams. And I think it just goes to show, if you don't play your at least your B-plus game, if you're the SEC, you're going to lose to some top non-conference and solid conferences like we've seen in the postseason. So I think there's a little bit more formality. They're still obviously dominant, but they're certainly not flawless like I think sometimes we may talk about. I think they're pretty close to flawless going into the postseason. It showed that they're not quite there. But those five teams they lost to, the SEC West, I think they're already in my top 10 to top 15 for next year, which I try not to fall into, but you look at all the players returning, I think they ran into buzzsaw, certainly in those bowl games, but it helps to have talent, and I think it was just tough matchups for the SEC West, so it's going to be interesting to see where TCU finishes in the final AP poll. Many think they could be top two or three, but I think it all starts, you know, you look at these matchups, and that's kind of what college football is all about, but I think Bama, LSU, Mississippi State, they're all going to crack my top 10 for next preseason. And I think it's tough. I think Auburn's going to be ranked in the preseason in my list, at least. So I would not say the West is not overranked. It's still the best. Perhaps we just need to tone it down a little bit in terms of them destroying everybody in its path. There's other solid teams we mentioned in the bowl games. I think the biggest discrepancy for me going into the year, and I don't think it showed up until the postseason, that maybe not many people talked about as much, was their losses of quarterbacks, Manziel, Murray, McCarron, Mettenberger. Those were some devastating losses, and while they're loaded at skill players, those programs, they certainly missed those guys in that bowl game because the quarterback play was pretty bad compared to at least the regular season for all those SEC West teams. So overranked, no, they're still dominant, just not quite flawless as maybe we once thought, but they're still the best and number one. They're still pretty dominant.
All right, one more question before we let you go, and you know what it's got to be. Monday night, all the chips are on the table, the Ducks and Ohio State Buckeyes. Who are you going to take, Dan, and tell us why?
Yeah, I think Oregon's got an advantage for me. I think you're going to see Mariota and obviously Cardale Jones put on a clinic. I think Devin Allen, wide receiver for the Ducks, who's out, got hurt on the opening kick. But Darren Carrington, Byron Marshall, Charles Nelson, that's the trio of receivers for Oregon, and a beast of a tight end who Forest State could still, I don't think, has tackled. Evan Bayless really just dominated that game. I think they'll have major success. I think while Oregon did drop over six bills in terms of total yardage against Florida State, I think they'll get close to 500 yards in this game. I think Ohio State will as well. I think Devin Smith at wide receiver for Ohio State, Zeke Elliott for Ohio State at running back. Those are maybe the two hottest players in the country down the stretch for their positions. I think once they get to the second quarter, people won't be talking about these defenses so much because they'll be giving up a lot of yards. Expect a big-time shootout. Oregon Ducks defense, it's bent a lot this year, but it's not been broken too often. Very opportunistic. I think they cause a turnover or two and I think Marta puts on a show. Cardale Jones will as well, but I'm leaning and going with the Ducks, 49-41. I think
we're due
for a special national championship game again. Maybe not quite like last year we see a comeback, but I think back and forth, lots of points will be flowing. Wouldn't be surprised if at least 1,000 yards of full offense, and I think we get close to at least 90 points in this game, maybe close to 100. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we get there. But I got about 90 points being scored. But it's going to be a shootout. Remember, this game's in Cowboy Stadium on that turf as opposed to the Rose Bowl. Sometimes slippery, but like last year, we didn't see as much. But we saw for us at Oregon where sometimes the service has an issue. But I think lots of points in Jerry Land. And I think the Ducks cap off their first ever title. And I think it's the year of Mariota. And I think he's in for another big game. And he's going to make his players around him look good. And I think it's try to enjoy one last game before he's potentially the number one pick in the draft.
All right. I hope you're right.
The
previous guest, Dan Greg Smith with Only Best Bets, he went Ohio State, and I've already jumped on the Ducks. Not my mortgage payment, but a few coins on the Ducks.
For entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, they've had major success down there in the desert this year. So a lot of people are staying with them. I think that's the smart call. You'll probably be sweating it out because those garbage touchdowns in the games are always critical, obviously. But I think you'll see lots of points. It'll be a fun game.
Yeah. Hey, let me throw one more at you if you've got just a minute.
Sure.
Hey, switching completely to the NBA, how are the Bulls doing?
They're doing good. I thought last night they had a stinker against the Utah Jazz. It happens once in a while in the NBA where you got back-to-backs and so many games so forth in a week. But the Bulls, in the top three in the East, and certainly they've been, I think, the most impressive team, and certainly I think they'll be there in June from a non-biased standpoint. Certainly Toronto and Washington have been pretty darn good, and we're waiting for Cleveland to pick it up, but they've had some major injuries, obviously, with LeBron James being injured, and Kevin Love and Kyrie have been dinged up. But the Bulls are still the most dominant team, I think, in the East, slightly over Washington, Toronto. It's pretty close there, and obviously whoever the East comes out of the East, I think, is going to be major underdogs to the West. Certainly, you got the Oklahoma City Thunder getting healthy, and they're not even in the playoffs as of now. So, certainly, Golden State's kind of taking the NBA by surprise a little bit, if you will, dominating it.
Right.
But the Bulls are looking pretty good in the East, and certainly, it's and some of my friends and family say, call me in June when the NBA Finals start.
That's right.
Until we get to April, really nothing too much matters because so much can happen.
That's right. The big surprise down here is the way the Hawks have been playing. That's the big surprise here.
Yes, I think they're the one team I apologize for not mentioning. They're the one team I thought I mentioned, but Atlanta, Washington, Toronto, Bulls are top four seeds right now. So I think Jeff Teague's been, I think, maybe the best point guard in the East.
Absolutely. I agree. He's having
amazing.
Yeah,
he's looking great. I think you saw him at Wake Forest. I did, at least watching the ACC a lot among all the top conferences in college basketball. But, I think the Atlanta Hawks, obviously the top seed in the NBA for many people's standards. I think they'll slow down a little bit.
Right.
But they'll be a top four seed, and I think it's interesting to see what they do and who they match up. I said, really, that's really all the postseason matters, because if you're a top three seed and losing the first round, then more times than not, fans will be disappointed based on those expectations that you create. So if Atlanta's a top four seed and gets Chicago or Cleveland in the first round, that could be tough, but right now they've been one of the more entertaining teams in the NBA to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to stay with us on past football into basketball, correct?
You got it.
Yeah, all right.
Let me know whatever you guys want. That works perfect for me.
Hey, we'll just keep rolling with
it. We love it, man.
So, folks, if you enjoy Dan Vasta and the information he brings each week, just stay with us, and he's going to be with us on through basketball, March Madness, and all the fun. So, hey, Dan, we appreciate
it. Before we know it.
Oh, yeah, it'll be here. We appreciate, once again, you joining us the first time in 2015, and we look forward to talking to you next week where we will have a national championship and get your thoughts on that. So.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and have a great weekend.
Hey, right, you too.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Vasta.
That's right.
All right, have a good one.
Dan the man, Vasta.
Dr. Knowledge.
Dr. Knowledge, baby.
I'm telling you. Hey, and coming up at 5:30, Ronnie, talking about knowledge.
That's it.
Fishing knowledge.
If you want some,
our man here.
You got it. Rex Chambers will be with us but right around 5:30. Tell us what's going on in the area.
So we'll talk about how the polar dip.
You got that right. I guarantee you the water temperature is now dropped.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes here on Sports Talk Live, and at 5:30 we'll have Rex Chambers give us a call. So stay with us.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Happy New Year from Live 95 WRKM LP Coleman.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
All right, we got about 17, 18 minutes until Rex comes on. So if anyone wants to chime in on Alabama's new addition, or maybe Alabama's loss, Auburn's loss.
Depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, just whatever you want to talk about, give us a call, 737-9951, and hopefully we'll get a moolah clue today. Cindy took out the last moolah from the Christmas tree from Desperation
that
Church.
That she did. Is this... speaking of moolah, this will be a mental.
This will be mental. So okay. Watch out, folks.
All right. So are we giving a clue today?
Yeah, we'll give one. I honestly forgot about it until right now.
But we thank People's Bank for sponsoring that segment.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt about
it.
Without them, there would be no moolah.
There would be no moolah.
No spotted cow, she'd just stay in the pasture all the time.
There would be a lot less houses around Coleman because they financed a lot of houses and cars.
That's right. That's it. So, hey, just stay tuned. We may, within the last, 30 minutes or so of our show, we may come up with at least one moolah clue.
That's right. And so, good news for people like you and I.
Yeah.
Who have been on the Jameis bus all year. Jameis not going to be in the collegiate level next year.
He's loading his van up and moving on to the NFL. I saw that yesterday.
And,
you
right
think Jimbo's
game,
happy about that?
Oh, yeah. Did you read Jimbo's lips during the Oregon game?
Well, is that when he was telling him, you play and I'll coach or something like that? Yeah.
You
that was two or three
shut
times.
Shut the...
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah. Either shut the...
Something up.
Up, or you'll be sitting on the bench.
I didn't see that part.
But, of course, the game was well in hand for Oregon at that point, so it wouldn't have mattered if they had to set him on the bench.
Yeah, it was a mute point, wasn't it?
And, Ronnie.
And I would have to say that the Florida State fans and university are thrilled to see Jameis leave under the circumstances that this whole season, whether he's guilty of anything ever, it's just the circumstances that this whole season was surrounded with.
Before I crashed my truck on our way back from Pigeon Forge, I had XM radio and listened to college sports talk anytime I was in a truck. But you had a continuous flow of Florida State fans calling in, and all with the same message. They couldn't wait until Jameis was gone.
Yeah.
So they're now should be happy. And
and
you know, but he put a scare into some people right after the game saying he was looking forward to playing baseball. Which he could not have done declaring for the NFL draft. People thinking he might come back, but he gone.
he gone, and they're happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jason, you know, you think about it, all the wins, the national championship, all those things, as good as they are, do they really, do they surpass all the negatives that you had to deal with? You know, I mean, it's just a, you know, it's just a question mark. You know, sometimes having a 500 club that get along and you don't have any issues, that's a lot better than having a really good football team that you're always having to try to put out, or any kind of team, but you're always trying to put out a fire or worried when the next time the phone rings, who's in jail this week.
Right.
You know, so.
And same thing, you know, goes on. You've been in coaching, but it goes on in high school, collegiate, pro. I'm not going to call the name, even the name of the school, but a local coach, basketball coach, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Had a great, talented team and told me after it was over that was the longest year he had ever spent coaching.
Yeah.
He probably won more games that year than any game in his career. But he said he couldn't wait for it to be over. So
wins and the losses are those sometimes take a back seat to you deal with, because, you know, the wins only they take place during that game for about an hour. And you got to deal with everything else, the rest of the day or the school day that you're dealing with.
On a high school level, a high school coach is not hardly making what
coaches
in the NCAA are making.
No, they're not raking it in, that's for sure.
Boy, speaking of high school coaches, and we'll get him on Coach Meyer and the Coleman Bearcats. Showed out a little bit during the Christmas holidays.
They did. And they played all over the world.
Oh, yeah. They were just traveling around playing whoever
they
played them.
They had a great tournament down at Birmingham at the Steel City Classic, you know, and I know we've already mentioned that, but, you know, they won some games down there. Beat Ram, Parker, I believe, beat Parker and Vestavia Hills, and then lost other couple of games, and then beat Holly Pond in the finals down here at the Yuletide Classic at Wallace. And then I went to Mississippi. I don't know how they did in Mississippi, but
I know he had posted on Facebook, a team they were playing, I think out of Arkansas, and he posted their lineup on there. I've never seen a high school team with a lineup. 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", 6'6".
Really?
Oh yeah. And I don't know how they come out on that one.
But yeah,
I would like to know.
Their starting lineup is probably 6'3", and then 5'9", 5'8", 5'10". You know,
and that's probably stretching some of them.
I know they're very small.
It's amazing how kids grow when you look at the state basketball program where they call the lineup out at a game.
Yeah,
you got a 5'8" kid, and he's all of a sudden 5'11".
I know you got that. that is true. And hey, I think I saw this in the paper today. I'm not sure. I hope I'm correct, but. I think Holly Pond boys have moved to the top spot in Class 3A, ranked number one in Class 3A. I could be wrong, but I think that's what I saw today. If that is the case, congratulations to the Holly Pond Broncos varsity boys. That may be a first in school history that they're, you know, ranked number one. Congratulations to Coach Morris, Mitch Morris.
Some good basketball being played in Coleman County and the city of Coleman this year. So.
Yeah, but just like we said, it really doesn't make any difference right now. And it's nice something to talk about for the school, and it's a, you know, a, kind of a buzz, I'm sure, going around the community, but it really doesn't mean any, doesn't mean anything unless you, you know, finish it up there at the end of February 1st to March in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Mariota, as we talked about, talking the college level, Jameis Winston, probably the first two picks. You see them going 1 and 2, or you think somebody takes a quarterback and then we wait?
I think as desperate as some of these pro teams are for quarterbacks, I think they're going to I think a quarterback's going to first pick. I don't know, you know, which one it is, but I certainly
if you're the general manager or the owner, Who do you pick first?
Marcus Mariota.
And see, I'm going to, as bad as I dislike Winston, I've got to go the opposite way. I'm going Winston first pick. So I think he's going to be a better NFL quarterback because of his build and size and, you know, if he stays out of jail. So
that's going to be that's going to be the big kick. I even heard somebody talking about the other day about him and possibly being the first pick, and they would possibly take him over Mariota right now, but then having somebody basically as to go along with him to keep him out of trouble.
Goodness.
Yeah, that was actually on TV that I was watching. Look, if I'm an NFL football franchise and I've got to hire somebody to go around with him to keep him out of trouble, why in the world would I invest $20 to $30 million in that?
That would be like buying a Mercedes and hiring a mechanic to ride with you because you know it's going to
break down
at some point.
Yeah, so. I mean, I thought that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There's your red flag.
What
else would you need to know if you're going to have to hire somebody to stay with him to keep him out of trouble?
Wow, I have not heard that.
I heard that
one. That one blows my mind as much as anything I've heard this week.
I heard that one. So I'm taking Mariota as my pick.
I might take him now that you told me that. So,
but I can understand why, you know, Winston is certainly has great talent and potentially with all the, you know, with his skills, he could be a great NFL quarterback. But that's.
Hey, while we've got time before, and well, how about 20 minutes after Rex gets off and things get crazy. So let's go ahead. Give me your prediction. Monday night, the Oregon Ducks, Ohio State Buckeyes. Who wins this and why?
I'm taking Oregon by 10. The reason I'm taking Oregon is, and I understand what Greg was talking about earlier about the defense usually it has the advantage and they usually end up winning. I just think Oregon, if they play well offensively, I don't think it matters how good Ohio State is defensively. I do not think, and when they're on, I don't think there's any defense anywhere that can stop them.
Right.
And I'm going to say they're going to win by 10 because they're going to be on offensively.
Okay.
That's my pick.
I kind of put out my feelings earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I think they win in that double-digit range. I'm going to say 13, 14 points, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And just like you said, the offense, I just don't see. Ohio State may slow them down, but they're not going to stop them.
No. The key there, I think, for Ohio State is they have to be able to run the football. They have to be able to maintain the football. Even if they don't score, they're going to have to string together a series of first downs just to keep Oregon's offense off the field.
The best way to keep them scoring is keep the ball.
That's
in
right.
Own
because
hands.
If Ohio State's going, you know, 3 and out or, you know, have 6 and out or, you know, something like that, I just don't think they can stay in it very long. You cannot give Oregon multiple possessions.
And I would like to think Ohio State is these world beaters that we saw, but again, not so that Alabama.
I'm not either. You know, in one way, I hate to say it. I mean, with them beating Alabama, I'd like to see Ohio State win the football game.
Right.
I don't think they will, but it would make you feel better about Alabama's performance, maybe. But I just don't see it happening, Jason.
Alabama, staying on the college football. Alabama, again, looks like number one recruiting class.
Did you see
who's going to be number two, though? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
You can guess, but I promise you, you're not going to guess it. Unless you've already heard it.
I have not heard it.
Right now, are you ready for this?
This is still early, way early.
And that's what they were saying. These two are really close. I'm going to call
number two of
these out because they said either one of them could be two or three, so. Both SEC teams, but one of them you're not going to believe.
Tennessee.
You're right. Tennessee Volunteers. 2, 3, whichever place you want to put them, and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Man.
So you talk about a job by Butch Jones.
He's done a great job, and, you know, they destroyed Iowa in their bowl game.
They lit them up.
So, hey, you know, it won't. I think, you know, Alabama and Auburn's domination of Tennessee the last several years is going to come to an end pretty soon.
Hey, I see Rex is on the line. Jay, do you want to go ahead and take Rex?
I'll do a break first.
Okay, we're going to do a break, and we'll come back with Rex Chambers.
That's
and
right.
If he's on the lake, he's frozen.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com. All right, 5:27 Thursday afternoon, cold Thursday afternoon, but nevertheless, it's time for Rex Chambers
with
our fishing report. Rex, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Tennessee, my behind.
Hey, I just report what they say.
He just tells what he hears. What about that?
Knoxville Groovy.
Yeah.
They're going to be number two. Hey, they're going to be good, but not next year. Season after, they're going to be a
five. Hey, now, Rex, was a recruiting class. They're supposed to have the number two as of right now.
Yeah, it's a recruiting class.
Number two recruiting class, maybe. That's a possibility, but I don't see them climbing that high. I really don't. Alabama's going to run away with that again this year.
I'm going to give you a warning, Rex. Running not in the best mood after Nick Saban taking Jonathan onto the team. So.
Hey, you know, I kept up with that, and it's still a pending case is what gets me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if it was over and done and it come to find out it was just something petty, big deal. But, you know, and this is not the first one he's let back on the team for that same thing.
So. Yeah. How long is it, Rex? How long can a case be pending?
I can go up to over a year. I mean, and this one's been rocking on a year, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, every bit.
So, yeah, I mean, there's sometimes, you know, lawyers get things put off, or that, you know, whether a witness can't get there or something, and so
right,
he'll go the next month or next quarter's court date. But yeah, up to a year, 2 years to get put off. But, and you know, Alabama ain't the boat alone. I mean, Auburn gives me second chances.
Sure.
It was unreal.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just not the way Saban's known to do. And I know it's got a lot of people a little ticked off. And apparently, this guy's like 300 and some pounds.
Oh, yeah. He's a monster. I mean, you know.
Whipped his little girlfriend around a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, Rex, Ronnie.
I'm ready. I'll be in jail.
Yeah, right.
Ronnie and I were talking, and he was saying, you know, would he do this for a walk-on or a one-star? And Ronnie and I both were laughing because you don't see many 5'10", 5'11", 160-pounders given a second chance like that.
You don't. You don't, brother. And it's gonna. Like I said, everybody gives second chance. Every team, if you're a good athlete, you get a second chance. Sometimes you get a third chance.
Yeah, that's right.
Like I said, Auburn's given plenty of criminals, or not convicted criminals, accused criminals second chance, and Auburn's always caught heck about it by the Alabama fans. So hey, it's our turn.
That's right. And I'm catching it. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, man. Hey, Rex, tell me, what's going on the lakes? Can a person stand to be out there right now?
Well, I could stand to be out there if I had time, but, oh, it's cold on the water.
Man.
I hate cold weather. As a southerner from Alabama, if it gets below 50, I'm miserable. Unless I'm fishing.
I hear you.
I love to fish in the cold.
Right.
So as long as my guides aren't freezing up on every cast, which is right now, it's going to happen. As soon as that water comes up, it's air, it's frozen.
Right.
But I love to fish when it's cold for some reason. My wife rakes me up and down the cold because, as bad as I hate cold weather, I'm in the boat and going. But no, I haven't been since I didn't even go this weekend. Cool. I actually took the weekend off.
I got you.
Doing a little school work, and it's haven't been so
right.
Well, I know it's still taking some weights to win, especially on Smith Lake. It's hopping.
Wow. What, Rex? With this current cold snap that we're in right now, this bitter cold. What changes will that make? I know, of course, I'm certain water temperature will drop. What will that do to the fish? Will it cause them to move? Will it cause them just to quit, not feed as much? Or what will this weather right now do to them?
Spotted bass, like on Smith Lake, is going to go a little bit deeper. They're going to find that easy water temp on them because the water from surface temp to 12 feet, we'll say 12 to 14, 15 feet, is going to really cool off.
Uh-huh.
From what it was. So yeah, they're going to move a little bit, go out a little deeper to that 15 to 40 feet range. Yeah, but the thing about it is, that's pretty much where they've been for the last few weeks.
Okay, right.
Just the ones that are shallow are going to really move, so it's going to make that deep bite even better.
Okay.
For the next couple of weeks anyway.
Does it change anything as far as, your technique, what you want to fish, your equipment or anything?
There are going to be a lot of suspended fish. You got to really pay attention to your electronics. Anytime a cold front like this hits, they'll get out there, and like I said, they'll find that I can't say thermocline, but they'll find that one depth where it's comfortable for them, and they'll just suspend there. And of course they're going to have to eat during the day sometime,
right?
But the thing about it is when they find that depth, so do the bait fish. So
right.
So they're right there at them. But yeah, there'll be a lot of suspended fish, a lot of spooning. Maybe in a little deep jerk baits. You can get some deep jerk baits in there, 12, 15, 18 feet. So.
Right.
But mainly spooning, shaky heads, jigs on Smith Lake. Up on Gunnersville, who knows? It's been tough over there for the last 4 weeks. There's been a couple of 20, 22-pound sacks in the tournaments, but mainly it's 16, 18-pound. It's taking more on Smith to win than it does on Gunnersville.
Wow. When would you ever thought you'd hear, you'd hear that?
Well, you say that. And most people do, but if you pay attention to history, I've kept tournament weights since 1999. and so I can go back and look and see, well, what was it doing last year, third week in December?
Right.
What was it doing in 99 or 2009, third week in December? And it's always December and January for Smith Lake, the weights bound up. Even before the blueback herrings got in here, the weights really went up. Say it took 6, 8, 10 pound in October, November.
Right.
Well, December, January, it took 12, 14, 15. Mm. Well, now it's taking 15, 18, 19.
Wow.
So the weights have went up as a whole
dramatically
in tournaments, and that's just because of the spotted bass that everybody's after, that the tournament guys are after, are way bigger. They're a whole lot fatter than normal, thanks to the blueback herring population.
Right.
And so that puts the weights up a little bit.
I got you.
But Gunnersville's right the opposite of what it's been the last 2 or 3 years. Usually, December, January, the A-rig bite was going in full swing, and the bags were 26, 32 pounds.
Wow.
And that's not happening this year.
Uh-huh.
Don't know why.
Wow. No way to explain it.
No way to explain it. The only thing I can even come close to thinking is the reason is the grass hasn't died off like it usually usually does. There's still some green grass around. Not a whole lot, but it's still there. Usually the grass is dead and almost gone by now.
Right.
But there's still grass there, so I don't know if those fish are buried up in that grass, still in that grass that hadn't died yet or what, but they really haven't got out onto the channels and the bridges and the creek channels like they usually do the last 3-4 years.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you this, Rex. With it being wintertime and it being cold, are you going to catch more spots? Are you going to catch more largemouth? Or does it make any difference either way as far as just the wintertime?
If you're on Smith Lake, yeah, you're going to catch more spots.
Right.
The largemouth population has made a great, great comeback on Smith, but wintertime spot time, that's all there is to it.
Right.
Largemouth, you're still going to catch a few, but you're not going to see a 5-fish, 20, 22-pound limit of largemouth come in unless it's just a fluke thing as far as we might get a 65-degree 2 days in a row or something like that.
Right.
But spots are going to dominate on Smith in the winter, and, of course, largemouth always dominate.
Right. Okay.
You can actually go to Gunnersville right now to have some fun and get on some of the rock bluffs, just the rocky bluffs, anywhere you see a rocky bluff, and throw a little quarter-ounce jig and have a blast catching some spots. You're just not going to catch any 4 or 5 pounds.
Wow. Well, they are fun to catch, though.
They are. Those river spots up on Gunnersville pull a little bit hotter than those Smith Lake spots. They're lazy. And every once in a while you get your good smallmouth, and we caught a good smallmouth last week.
Oh, man, it doesn't get any better than getting on some smallmouth.
Well, now we had, I'll tell you, last day of January, 31st, made a little trip in the evening right before we didn't fish about 2.5 hours before dark up to Wheeler.
Uh-huh.
They've been rolling that current.
Right.
Boy, the smallmouth bite on Wheeler is just fabulous when a current's rolling hard.
Yeah.
And if we would have landed one or two bites that we had that didn't get in the boat, we'd have had almost a 30-pound bite.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but we did catch some nice 4 and 3/4 pound smallmouth.
Boy, those bronze backs, they just don't get any better, does it?
Mm-hmm. My partner was there the day before while we went.
Yeah.
He had one that was 7.
Good grief.
You get a 7-pound smallmouth, you've done something, and I wasn't there to live.
That is a monster. I don't think I've ever seen one that big.
They get huge.
Wow. I love to catch some smallmouth, though. So, hey, but if somebody's going to try to go this week or so, Rex, if you could, I think you already mentioned to us, but if you can tell us again, maybe some baits of choice or colors that and where we might need to get, depth-wise.
If you're going this weekend, stay home.
Stay home this weekend.
It's going to be cold Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, it's going to be like, close to 50 degrees. I don't even think we're going to fish tournament Saturday. I think we're going to wait and go about 8, 9, 10 o'clock.
Right.
Just do some fishing. But I'll be throwing swim baits and jigs on Gunnersville. That's just all there is to it. That's what the bite is right now. And maybe a little square bill. Get in what grass is left. Throw a little square bill up there in 4 to 6 feet. Jerk it through the grass like you would a jerk bait or a rattle trap. And you're going to get bit that way. If you don't Smith, hey, it's wintertime. You pick up a quarter-ounce shaggy head and a little quarter-ounce to half-ounce jig and put it 25, 35 feet deep and hang on.
Right. Any particular color, or is one as good as another?
I don't know that there's anything other than green pumpkin on Smith, of course. But, green pumpkin on Smith. And that's what the water is on Gunnersville.
Uh-huh.
If the water's as muddy as it had been being, black and blue, or a black blue and green pumpkin, or a green pumpkin and blue.
Right. I know my son was out, he went to Catawba the other day, and he said, Dad, all the bait fish were down in about 30 feet of water.
Yep. And they've been, right now, crappie are chomping on Catawba, so.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I've seen some cold weather crappie bags the last week or so.
Yeah, delicious to eat too, aren't they?
Yes. Actually, truth be known, Tom was probably the best bass fishing lake in the state, if you know it.
Right.
And it's no doubt in my mind it's the best crappie lake there is.
Right, yeah. I've seen some huge ones come out of there.
There are some big ones.
There are. I was at Smith one day, and a guy, he was putting his boat in down there, and he pulled some out. And I said, where in the world did you catch those? And he said, caught them at Catawba. And they, if they were a pound, they were 3.
There you go. I mean, they've got some huge crappie in it. Some of these retired fellas really know where to go.
Yeah, exactly. They know where that brush is.
I ain't gonna lie, I might have followed one or two of them around.
Exactly, absolutely. I'm not above it. Well, all right, Rex. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you giving us a call. And I should have said earlier, but I hope you had a great Christmas, you know, holiday season. Your family's doing well, and we just appreciate you joining us on Thursdays.
Y'all have a good one.
All right, see you, Rex. There you go, guys. Always, that's the man of knowledge when it comes to fishing.
Hey,
around
and I
culinary.
Like what he said. If you're going this weekend, don't go.
Don't go. Stay at the house. You got it. Hey, we got to take a break. It is 5:40, and so stay with us here on Sports Talk Live 95.5 Cullman.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
AK Rentals has been serving Cullman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Cullman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
All right, 5:42, winding it down, and we still hadn't had a moolah close. How about we do this? How about we start
moolah sighting?
Since today's Thursday, we start Tuesday with a fresh moolah.
Cindy is chapped, yeah. I guarantee.
We'll spot the old cow and put her out somewhere. Somewhere in Cullman County?
You gonna hide her? Actually hide her? Oh,
no,
okay.
We're just gonna think of it, and it's too cold to be out hiding.
I was gonna say you
hiding cows. You try to get them off the trailer. And
oh man, that sounds good to me. So Tuesday we will have moolah mentally hidden.
That's it.
We have to write it down if we forget it.
All right, anything else? We don't have a paper to highlight the high school action. I do know Cold Springs will be traveling to Tanner tomorrow night in an important area game.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, that'll be a good game. If you're bored, you want to ride up toward Tanner. I'd like to, but it's going to be too cold.
It's going to be too cold. That's right. School starts tomorrow at 10, Cullman County Schools. For those that are out there who may have not heard or gotten a call from Dr. Ross, our superintendent, he usually makes those calls about 6 o'clock in the evening, Jason. So, you know, in about 17 minutes or so, you may get a call. But that was the plan that I last heard was we will start at 10 o'clock tomorrow, 10 o'clock start.
And the 10 o'clock starts, they don't hold that against the kids, no makeup or anything?
No, there's no makeup. That's considered.
I do that every day.
Exactly. We start 10 every day. So that was the plan today, and certainly I think it was definitely a good call. You do not want little ones. I mean, it's still going to be cold at 10 o'clock. But
they said in Birmingham, the Vulcan this morning had his hands in his pocket.
Sure enough. If he still had any hands, I'd frostbite and they'd fall off. So, go ahead.
What was the other one? I know you've heard it. I can't think of it. It's I know what it was. They saw a beagle trying to jump start a rabbit. So.
That's cold now.
That's
cold. That's real cold. So, Jason, you were mentioning a little bit of high school basketball. The last week of this month will be the Cullman County Basketball Tournament. That's the dates of that will be the 24th, which is a Saturday, and it will run through the 31st, which is the following Saturday. So it takes a week to play that tournament down there at the Tom Drake
Coliseum. Have they brought it up? Or
we draw next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
And then after that, I'll have some brackets that we can look at and keep up with the games. But the county tournament, again, starts on the 24th of January, with the finals being the 31st. So there's five or six games on Saturday, that first Saturday. Play will start at 1 o'clock. And then on the finals day, it will also start at 1 o'clock with your ninth grade boys, finals, and then you go from there. Ninth grade boys, I don't know if I have the order right, but it's ninth grade boys, JV girls, JV boys, varsity girls, and varsity boys. So it'll be five games on each one of those Saturdays, and then single elimination, lose, you done.
Yeah, and if you want some cheap entertainment, that's the way to do it, because if you go down at 1 o'clock,
oh yeah, it's just,
and you pay that admission, $5 admission,
$1 a game. Where in the world are you going to get entertainment that cheap?
No.
But it starts the 24th. Great place to watch a basketball game. Plenty of room, comfortable seats. Not a bad seat in the house. So, I just encourage everybody. If you have a team that you pull for, or you haven't seen a game all year, slide down there on one day that it's not too miserably cold, and support these local kids as they play, because it's a big deal for them to get to play at Wallace.
Yeah, and they'll bounce back, play two or three games, and then go into the area tournament.
Then they go into the area tournament, and then hopefully some will be going into the sub-region games and then moving into the region play. Most of the teams around here, I haven't looked at the book, but most of them this year will be playing, if they qualify for the region, will be down here at Wallace. There have been years when even Hanceville High School, we talked about that before, qualified for the regions, and they had to drive to Jacksonville State.
Would that not check? We can go across the street here.
Exactly. We're 0.2 mile, and we've got to drive to Jacksonville over in Calhoun County, to play. So,
but as we said, the line's got to be drawn somewhere.
Somewhere, and it changes, from year to year. So that was just a bad, bad draw for Hanceville. Holly Pond is another team that's had to go to Jacksonville before, but I think they may be, but I'm not sure. They may be back at Wallace.
Has Vimont been to Jacksonville? I know Cold Springs has
had
to play at
Jacksonville. No, Vimont's never had to. We've always been able to play at Wallace.
Okay. So I remember Cold Springs. In fact, it was the year. No, it would have been before that. I wouldn't say it was the year they went to the state finals, but it would have been, I think, one, maybe 2 years before that. They played in the finals, and I went and watched them at Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
And, they got beat by somebody.
definitely Wallace is the best. There's four locations that they play, that region play is played, and by far the best place to go to watch a game is down here at Wallace, as far as the region. Right. They're much, much better coliseums.
Ronnie, I want to hear from somebody on this Alabama situation. I know somebody's listening. Cindy, Alabama fan.
Sheila.
Call, give us your opinion.
Where's
Sheila,
Eddie?
If you're listening, Eddie is not going to call. I'll go ahead and predict that. He did say, I posted a jab or two at him on Facebook, and he did say that he hated Alabama, had resorted to recruiting this guy, and had signed him on a scholarship, and...
That's about it.
Yeah, not a lot to say. What can you say?
He's been out of the picture since then.
Yeah,
huh?
Eddie actually, I think, is moving to Birmingham. So.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, all these bills came due at where you're living now. So. And folks, I know Eddie well, so I wouldn't be saying all this about him if I didn't know him.
Oh, man. Oh, you piling on him there now.
He's not here to defend
himself.
That's
it. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But anyway, as far as the Cumming County tournament goes, Jason, it's just around the corner. The draw will be next week, and then we will know how the seedings are. And then next Thursday, a week from today, I'll have all that information for you, and we'll see how – the seedings go and who's the one seed and down through the seventh seed. So,
hey, do you want me to feed the rumor mill?
Might as well.
Rumor mill, I have no idea where this rumor mill came from, but
Supposedly. Well, that definitely makes it legitimate. Yeah. We got a rumor to start with, and the second part is I don't know where it came from.
I really don't know. I don't know where it came from. I've heard it two different sources.
Yeah.
But rumor has it that the San Francisco 49ers has an interest in Gus Malzahn. So take that for what it's worth.
That's not
Gus
worth.
Gus has more than one occasion said he's not interested in the NFL.
In the NFL.
And so I don't believe it. I don't think, number one, San Francisco would be after Gus after the year he's had. Number two, I don't see Gus going to San Francisco. So
why would he want to?
Yeah, I mean.
I don't see that at all.
But funnier things have happened.
That's
Danny,
it.
So.
That's right.
All right, let's take one more break, come back, and we'll try to finish it up for a Thursday. Still looking for somebody to take up for Nick Saban.
Get home before it gets cold.
That's right. You're listening to Sports Talk Live Thursday afternoon. I don't know what edition it is, but we'll figure it out.
About 41.
Yeah, 41, 42, somewhere in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
Scissors Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
All right.
Winding it down.
Hey, it's getting close. Getting close. Supper's cooking.
That's right. Jason, I know it's winding down, and I wanted to ask you about this.
Back this don't out. Sound good.
I'm going to ask you anyway.
Right here, live on the air, and I have a live deal.
Live on the air. So. Tell me about Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Was it Tuesday? Yeah, it was Tuesday. Where'd you go Tuesday?
I don't even know. Oh, I know.
What can you tell me about
that? The good husband that I am, my kids bought my wife.
Did they do that as a present for her or punishment for you?
I think punishment.
Oh, I don't think she'd doubt. I know your daughter would.
Yeah, tickets to Dancing with the Stars tour. It wasn't the competition, but the tour that they done, the winners and different ones.
Yeah.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm.
So.
Did you drive up and then drive back?
No, we spent the night.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about 9:30, 15 or 10 before it was over with.
Man.
And Ronnie.
Are you speechless, Jason?
Yeah. It really wasn't as bad as what I expected.
Oh, it wasn't?
I'll just leave it at that.
I know an old country boy from Cold Springs, Alabama, is really, really enjoying that 2-hour drive to Nashville for some dates.
Yeah.
As Ernest Steve would say.
And believe it or not, I made it through the entire thing without a nipple scope.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Would that have been inappropriate?
It was actually in an old church building.
Would it have been inappropriate if you'd had a dip? I mean,
it might have been there.
Kathy would have frowned on that.
I might have sneaked it, but you would have never knew it.
You can put it inside your pocket, spit down in your cup.
I've done crazier things.
Oh, that's right. Man's got to have a dip, you know. So I was just wondering about that. I knew you were going to Dancing with the Stars. So
yeah, the things you do for love.
They'll write a song about that. Hey, we've only got a couple minutes, Jason, I don't have a whole list to run down. But you know, now that the college football season is basically wound down, except for two teams, you start having underclassmen to declare that they're coming out. You know, going to go to the NFL. Bama's got. I see here. It doesn't come as any surprise that Amari Cooper and T.J. Yeldon plan to leave Alabama for the NFL. I'd also heard that Landon Collins, their safety, was also planning on leaving. There may be more, you know, that a little bit later decide to, but those are just the three that I've heard so far from Alabama that's going to leave early. Certainly, probably within, you know, the next year or the year after, you will certainly lose. Alabama will certainly lose Cam Robinson, who is their freshman starting left tackle. He has first round written all over him. I mean,
I'm not sure that Alabama's punter will be around much longer.
Exactly.
Wow.
Did he not put on a show?
I never saw anybody kick a ball like that.
And I don't care if it's college, pro, wherever. And, you know, I think his first punt was 72 yards. At one time, his average was well over 60.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You got that right.
But good news for the Auburn fans, Duke Williams has said that he will return to Auburn next year.
You know, when you told me that I haven't heard that. That really, really surprised me.
Yeah, it did me too.
He is a phenom.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it might be the other way around. Yeah. Because I see Duke Williams, to me, is a better receiver than Sammy Coates.
Yeah, I'd
not not throwing off on Sammy Coates, but he's not a Duke Williams.
Right.
I mean, that guy is a absolute specimen. I'm shocked that he's coming back. Completely shocked.
You never know. He's got a few days. He could change his mind.
Right.
But that's what he says. You know, he did not play in the bowl game, violation of team rules.
Had a little problem for whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know what it was still. No. I haven't heard. And I don't know if that played into his decision or maybe.
Could be.
They said, hey, you're not going to go as high as you think you are.
Right, so. Right. He is certainly an NFL talent.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it the old rule, if you go in the first round.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah, you're more or less, coaches encourage you to go. And
yes.
You're going to be later than that. They want you to hang on.
Hang around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that first-round pick gets you, you know, guaranteed several millions.
How crazy would Jameis have been to not go to the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
One injury and he's
over.
Done and never collect a penny.
So. That's right. And you never know what next season would hold, you know, for him.
Right.
I mean, he's probably he's as hot a commodity right now as he's going to be, you know. And even with all his baggage, you know, it just tells you what kind of pure – God-given talent the kid has.
Oh, yeah.
You know, physical ability to play. Maybe not a mental ability to think, but you know, a physical ability to play.
But if you're physical enough, you don't need to think.
Yeah, that's right. Just go. Yeah. Don't worry about thinking. Just go react.
That's what the coaches are making millions.
That's
for,
right. So. That's it. That's exactly right. So.
And in fact, I think Jameis would be better off if he tried to not do as much thinking.
I know, exactly.
The more thinking he does, the more trouble he gets in.
Maybe they'll do as they say, and they'll hire somebody to follow him around all the time.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. All right. Hey, folks, when we talk to you next time, we will have a new national champion.
That's right. It'll be
who wins, it's going to be a new
champion.
It'll
be a Buckeye or a Duck.
That's right.
And it's been a while for anything other than something from the SEC.
That's right. The NFL playoffs, Saturday and Sunday.
That's right.
So you can go Saturday, Sunday, Monday, get all the football
you want. All the football you want.
And you better, because it won't be long until it's going to be gone.
That's right.
All right, Ronnie, until Tuesday, I'm going to leave with a big War Eagle.
And I'll leave you with a bigger Roll Tide.
All right, we'll talk to you Tuesday, folks. You've been listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
for the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? I stand here on the edge of the seat. Out the doorway, the bullets shred to the sound of the beat. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sing it. Thank you. Good again. Hey, and another one come, and another one come. Another one bites the dust. Hey, can I get you too?
A full year old. You're listening to Live 95 Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP Coleman.
Doctor's mom, come here.
illustrated mile. I want to find the logic of all sex laws. Let the handcuffs slip on your wrist. I'll let you be my chaperone at the halfway home.
The hell?